Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner. It's great to have you here this afternoon. It is a beautiful Friday here, don't you think, Ryan?
Well, it's certainly very nice to look at. I would say the aesthetics are perhaps not matched by the feeling on your skin that the temperature engenders.
That is true, but I feel like it's a little warmer now than it has been in days past.
Valid.
So it is amazing how all of a sudden when it's in the teens, I'm happy.
It's weird.
Versus it's the weird. Single digits.
Yeah, the temperature becomes so relative this time of year, doesn't it?
I know, and I hate to always be talking about the weather, but it seems to be what's at the top of my mind pretty much every day in the winter. So when there's sunshine, I'm very happy.
Well, you have had a significant experience with the weather.
Well, that too.
As well.
I used to have to watch it all of the time. Now I just look at it in the morning and say, coat, no coat, boots, no boots. It's a much, much more sane way to approach the subject of weather. We're not going to talk about the weather today. We're not going to talk about it at all because I'm very excited that we actually get to talk about studying the Bible. It's one of my very favorite subjects. Let me ask you this. What, besides school,
yes,
when did you start reading your Bible?
That is a great question.
I should have prepared you that I was going to ask.
No, it's all right. I think it was fairly early. I remember my first Bible. It was red. It had a lot of great pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading it from a very early age. I think my parents would actually read the Bible with me, my grandparents as well. But I'd say as far as studying and kind of getting more in depth, probably Sunday school.
Mm, okay. So there were maybe assignments or stories that you had to read so that you could keep up.
And that's right.
Someone was making it interesting for you to study, correct?
Very much so. That was one of the keys, I think.
Because I think that people don't just necessarily pick up the Bible and say, I'm going to start here.
Second Chronicles.
Right, in Second Chronicles. Right. Well, I was reading some interesting stats on reading the Bible this week, and here are a couple that were very interesting to me. There was a recent Pew Research that they found that 80% of the people who responded said that the country is in moral decline. That may not be surprising. 80%. But 73% of those same responders said that the Bible is a good source of wisdom in teaching. So that's not surprising. But wait, 24% of those same people say that they do read their Bibles regularly. So 73% say it's a great source of wisdom in teaching, but only 24% of those people actually read their Bible, so then would be able to contribute. And I found that really interesting because I thought, well, why is that? So I took a little informal survey of my own on Facebook and just asked, what is it that keeps you from reading your Bible? And people said all kinds of things, but I'd say the top three were, it's intimidating, I don't know where to start, or the Old Testament scares me.
Mm.
And I thought, well, that was very apropos for what we're going to talk about today, because today we're going to hear from an author who has written a book called Frameworks, and it says how to navigate the New Testament. I did just mention the Old Testament, but we'll talk about that later, too. So Frameworks, how to navigate the New Testament, an extraordinary guide for ordinary people. And I want to introduce you to this author because I think you'll be very encouraged by what he has to say and how he breaks down the Bible into ways that make it a little more understandable, less intimidating for sure, and will help to explain a little bit about not only the New but also the Old Testament. Let me introduce you to him and we'll get him on the show. Eric Larson is a writer, a teacher, and speaker who for the past 35 years has helped people all the way from Cleveland to Castro Valley crack open and navigate their Bibles. A successful Silicon Valley business executive, he is the founder of Frameworks Resources, which is a Bay Area publishing company, and is a Bible teacher at Cornerstone Fellowship in Livermore, California. We're not going to talk about the weather with him either.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Eric and his wife, Bonnie, live and work in Danville, California, and have four grown children and one, I'm guessing, one very spoiled granddaughter. Is that true, Eric?
That's very true.
When I saw you only had one, I thought, oh, she gets a lot of great Christmas presents.
Absolutely.
Well, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Joe. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. And I was just telling Ryan before the show just how beautiful this book is. And I was kind of laughing to myself because you said it was kind of a survey to the New Testament. But I remember my New Testament survey class, and my book looked nothing like this.
Yeah, most of them don't. This one has 125 color photographs, and it's a visual learner's masterpiece. I mean, it's really something to behold.
It's very pretty. What have you found out is the big hang-up for people starting to read the Bible?
I think you articulated very well. People, when they first pick up the Bible, it's 2,000 pages thick. It's full of text. One book leads into the other book, and they don't know where to start, and they're very intimidated by the Bible. It's a sacred book. It's God's word. They don't want to mess around, but at the same time, they have no context and no bearings to know where to start and how to go about doing that. So I think that's what the main problem is. People feel very, very intimidated by it.
I found that one of the other comments is, do I have to read it from start to finish? And because it seems that when people have that mentality that they have to read it from start to finish, they never make it past Deuteronomy.
No, and, you know, they usually start at Genesis and they get into some stuff that's it's hard to understand. They don't have the context to know how to interpret what they're reading, and so it becomes very daunting.
So context is a big word. You use it a lot in explaining many of the books of the Bible, of course. Why is context so important, and how would that help us to understand the Bible more?
Well, context is the story around something that's being explained, and we found out in our research in our classes that if people don't have the context, it's impossible for them to have meaning. And that's why pastors, when they get up to give a sermon, usually spend quite a bit of time talking about, well, at this time in Nazareth this was happening, or Jesus was on his way down to Jerusalem, and they give the story behind what's going on so that you have the context you need to understand what you're about to read.
Well, because there are, of course, timeless principles that God is communicating through people, through his word, but those words were also written to people at that time in that place, correct?
That's right. And although the Spirit of God can take any verse in Scripture and illuminate it for you when you're sitting down to read the Bible, so clearly there is that spiritual activity going on. But, you know, it's like you can't see the forest for the trees. When you're in the middle of the forest, you have no clue many times which way is up and down and how do you get out of the forest. Until you get away from it or above it, then you can see, you know, the entire picture.
So what have you found has been most helpful for people? I mean, you've been teaching the Bible for over 35 years. You have a lot of comments, I'm sure, from people who've been in your classes or sitting next to you while you teach. What are the things that they've mentioned has been most helpful to really get them in the Word and to help them understand it?
Well, I think they need to see that it can be broken down into bite-sized pieces, and that these pieces can be understood for themselves, and that they have the ability to do it themselves. We were invited to one church out here in California to do a Sunday morning service where we introduced this idea of frameworks in looking at the Bible. And I said to people as I was speaking to them, you know what, if you don't understand the New Testament, it's not your fault because you need context to understand it. And there was this collective gasp that came out of the congregation because people are sitting there believing that they should know this stuff and it's not that difficult. But when they actually start reading the Bible, it becomes that way. But when you allow them to see the integral parts of the New Testament as kind of laid out on paper or graphically represented, it takes away a lot of that fear, and it builds confidence in people that, you know what, I can do this, and I have the ability to do it. So I think that's the to me, that's the empowering thing, to step back from the scriptures, kind of look at them from afar, and to, you know, develop these frameworks that your mind can use then to take you through your reading of the scripture.
We're talking with Eric Larson today. He's written a very colorful, beautiful, and informative book called Frameworks, How to Navigate the New Testament. And we're going to hear more from him, and especially about his own story of how he went from business executive to a pastor teacher by night. So we're going to chat with him more when we come back. If you're interested in finding out more about this book, Frameworks, and we even have a few copies to give away, well, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Or maybe you just have a comment and want to join in on the conversation. Give us a call and we will get that question or comment on the show. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We're chatting about the Bible today and how we can get to know our Bibles a little bit easier and a little bit better. Talking with Eric Larson today, who's a writer and a teacher and also a speaker, who for the past 35 years has been teaching people how to read their Bibles and has written a new book called Frameworks, How to Navigate the New Testament, An Extraordinary Guide for Ordinary People. So, Eric, as I'm reading your bio, I find that you didn't start out, well, you may have started out being a Bible teacher, but that wasn't your main profession. Tell me how you got to this point.
I started out in college taking business classes and engineering classes, and after graduating from college, went on to start a business career. During that time, I was quite involved in a small church in Akron, Ohio, and it was a Bible-believing church, and I really enjoyed that kind of activity, so I became like a lay pastor. So during the day, I jumped in my car and went to work and did my work, and at night, I had a home church, and I did that for quite a number of years. So I had this kind of dual-track career of business guy by day, teacher and preacher by night, and that lasted for a long time. Until about almost 10 years ago, I was driving to work, and I was getting really frustrated with my job. And I just had this prayer, Lord Jesus, if you don't want me to work anymore and you want me to do something more full-time in your kingdom like teaching, you've got to show me. And it was almost like Jesus said, you are on. And that week, unbelievably, all the projects that I was working on, the things that I was doing, the things that I'm very confident in doing, all fell apart. And by that Friday, it got so bad that I quit. Mm. And so I took that as a definite call from the Lord to, hey, listen, it's time to get on with your real work, and that is teaching the Bible. And so I've been doing that full time since 2005 and have never looked back.
Mm. And yet that background that you had in engineering or business has really helped to create this resource Frameworks, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a visual learner, and in engineering, it's all about designing things that are visual, most cases. And so I took that element and kind of developed that in the materials that I was working on. And the second thing was I was in marketing, and marketing is all about advertising and concepts and trying to communicate clearly and distinctly. And so both of those elements kind of came together. I was teaching a class called Building Your Bible Skills, and we were helping newer Christians understand the New Testament and navigate their way through it. And as I began to introduce visual elements into the curriculum, like charts and graphs and illustrations, I noticed how people just came alive. And so that got me into a long study about visual learning. And it's fascinating to understand that visual learning is such a strong component of most people's learning regimen. 90% of the information that we take in every day comes visually. Visual images. The brain can process visual images 60,000 times faster than text. Not twice as fast, not four times as fast, not even 100 times as fast, 60,000 times faster. And so when we use imagery to communicate ideas, people get it. And so that's kind of the whole basis of frameworks. We are building conceptual frameworks that allow people then to have a structure in their brain to hang all these biblical thoughts on. And so that's why the book is so visually driven, because we have, by experience, understood that that really is a powerful, powerful way of learning.
I'm just doing a study right now on the Israelites and moving to the Promised Land. And one of my very favorite pictures is looking at a map of
sure.
Egypt, where it's lush and green and beautiful, and then the desert, which is awful and terrible and desolate, and then the Promised Land, which is lush and green and beautiful. And it was such a help in helping me articulate, well, what did it really mean to be stuck in the desert? And that visual clue was huge. So I can totally understand why that was a big benefit for the people you were teaching.
And that's why trips to the Holy Land are so powerful, because you are taking in visual images of what you read in the Bible, and that really sticks with you.
Well, that's a whole other show entirely. We could talk more about that. So, and in today's culture, people are always, I mean, look at how popular YouTube is, or being able to put video or pictures on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. It seems to be the way that people communicate with each other now. So how does that translate to our ability to learn scripture?
Well, in what we were doing, we were creating visual imagery. So let's just kind of take a look at the book. We broke down the New Testament in its 27 writings. And then we group those writings, as the Bible does, in six logical groups. And so we tried to make some illustrations of what that looks like. And then we went through each and every one of the New Testament books and tried to create imagery, visual, powerful visual images that would then stick with people beyond just reading through the book. So in Matthew, for example, Matthew is constructed of five major speeches that Jesus gave. That was Matthew's goal, to create those five, to reproduce those five speeches for his Jewish audience. And that looks like the structure that he used. And so we said, well, what do we come up with as a visual image that will give people the idea of these structures? And so we picked skyscrapers, and we got an image of Dubai there. And here are these five skyscrapers in Dubai that are standing hundreds, if not thousands, of feet above the rest of the landscape. And that is the book of Matthew. These five major speeches that Jesus gave are standing high above all the rest of the narratives that are in that book. And secondly, the theme of Matthew is about Christ is the King. And Matthew had this heart for the Jewish people, and he wanted to make sure that they knew that Christ was their Messiah, and that they had blown it, and that he was the King of the kingdom of the heavens. And so we grabbed this image of a lion, and we use the theme, God's lion roars, which is really the entire book of Matthew. The King of the kingdom of the heavens came to the planet to roar. And that means he's speaking, and he's speaking a lot. He's giving edicts. He's talking about his kingdom. He's explaining spiritual things in human words. And at the very end of Matthew, he ends with a quote of Jesus, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." And if that isn't the King, I don't know what is. So that kind of gives you another idea of how we're using visual imagery to create conceptual frameworks for people so that they can then understand what they read.
Well, and each chapter isn't very long in the explanation that you're using. So someone could, but I do notice that at the end of each chapter, you say, now go read it. And you even give a clue as far as how long it might take me to read that book. Why is this an essential part of your book?
We believe that in the age that we're living in, there is so much information bombarding us every day that the last thing a Bible reader needs is this thick introduction to the New Testament that's 1,000 pages with no illustrations. So we took the reverse approach and we said less is more. If you can say something in 3 words, don't use 23 words. So for that reason, each chapter in Frameworks is about 10 to 15 pages long. That's all. But in each page, there is some specific idea that we want to communicate, and we do that very succinctly. And we think that that not only frees the reader to go explore on their own, but it also gives people the feeling like, wow, refreshing white space. There's not 25 small font pages that I have to read to get this. There's just one story, and it hits home. And that gives me enough of a guide so that I can go read it on my own now in the scriptures and have a little bit better way of understanding it.
Well, and I find that when I assign my students an entire book of the Bible to read and I tell them it will only take you about 2 hours, they are stunned. They don't believe me because they think that it's going to take so much longer because that's not usually how we read the Bible. But we'll sit down with a novel and we'll read for 2 hours. Some people will sit down with People magazine and read for 2 hours. You can read a gospel in 2 hours.
And you can read Philippians in 5 minutes. So when you say, go read the whole book of Philippians, people freak out. But if you say, it's only going to take you 5 minutes, then they say, well, I could do that. So that's very helpful as well.
It's absolutely helpful. And then you can look at, before you read it, of course, to read the pages in this resource and be able to say, oh, this is what it's about. Here's what I'm looking for. Here's who wrote it. But it's more than you would read just in your intro on a page, say, in your study Bible, right?
Yeah, it's much more than that. We actually, on the back of the book, we list 10 what we call frameworking questions that we're answering in the book. The first one is, what is the book like? And we talked about that with Matthew. It's like the city of Dubai with 5 skyscrapers. What is it about? Why was it written? How is it organized? And how is it organized as like a visual representation of an outline? How does it read? So we give people an idea of the verses, and some New Testament writings read differently than others. How do I move through it? And what we're doing there is we're being the tour guide that takes people to the Louvre in Paris and says, now listen, I want you to get there early before the crowds. I want you to go down to the right, take a left, and then go up the stairs, and you're going to go to the Mona Lisa. Be sure you're there before 9 o'clock. I mean, this is the tour guide part that says when you're reading through Matthew, look at these 5 things that you're going to see as you go through there. What should I remember most? What makes the book or author special? So all of these form kind of frameworking ideas for people that that when they go to read the Bible after having read those, they have some frame of reference.
We're talking to Eric Larson today. He is a writer, teacher, and speaker, and also created this wonderful resource called Frameworks, How to Navigate the New Testament, an extraordinary guide for ordinary people. We do have a couple of copies left that we'd love to put in your hands if you would like. And when we come back, we're also going to tell you how you can get your own chapter, download your own chapter of one of the books or one of the chapters in Frameworks. We'll tell you that when we come back with Eric Larson. Give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, and see if we can get one of the copies of Frameworks in your hands. It would make a great gift, but I don't think you'll want to give it away. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. About the Bible today on Connecting Faith, and a way to kind of get interested again in reading your Bible. Maybe it's intimidating to you, or maybe you haven't quite figured out where to start, or what in the world some things mean. And I understand that absolutely. Well, it is National Bible Week, November 23rd through 30th. So we're just getting a jump on this by talking to author Eric Larson, who's created a resource called Frameworks, How to Navigate the New Testament. And it is a beautifully illustrated book, has some wonderful pictures, but also just kind of outlines each book of the New Testament in a way that is not only understandable, but gets you interested to dive in. And Eric, one of the things that I mentioned before the break is that you have a way for people to be able to download their own chapter and see if it's something that they would be interested in. Talk more about that.
If you go to our website, which is called frameworksthebook.com, you can download the chapter of the book on Philippians free of charge and have that for your own. And it'll show you how we approach each and every New Testament book. It's the same structure that we use on all of them. So that's for everyone.
And like I mentioned, that this book is, it's visually attractive as well. My New Testament survey class was a book with a lot of black and white writing, and that was it. But this is a very different type of resource. Why did you want to make it so visually appealing?
The short answer is that we are all, to some degree, visual learners, and come to find out that so were some of the great characters in the Bible. For example, Moses. I've always wondered how Moses could remember all that God was telling him. And if you look in chapter, the book of Exodus is really three parts. The first is the, it talks about the Exodus. And of course, then you have this fantastic giving of the law. But after that, you have the majority of the book, starting in chapter 25 and going to the end. 15 chapters is all about the tabernacle. And people forget about that. And so God calls Moses to the top of the mountain. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he gives him detail after detail after detail after detail about how he wants his house built on earth. And I've always thought, well, how in the world did Moses, before the day of tape recorders and before, you know, pen and paper and all that, how did he remember all of those intricate details until I read Exodus chapter 25, verse 9, which where God is about ready to tell him all the details. He says, make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern that I will show you. And that word pattern means model. It means structure. And so God either had a scale model of the tabernacle and showed it to visual learner Moses, or he showed him a vision of it. Either way, it's visual learning. And so a picture is worth a thousand words. And when you're looking at something and you visualize it, and then you hear the details about it, it sticks. Mm. And so I thought, awesome. So we made a model of the tabernacle in the class I was teaching, and I brought it in. It was about 4 feet long and 2.5 feet wide. It was made just exactly like the one in Exodus. And that was such a powerful way of teaching, because you could point right to the part of the tabernacle that you're talking about. And we spent 40 weeks in an adult class going through that study. So that's one thing. The second thing, briefly, is John was also a visual learner. In the Revelation, he says over 40 times what he saw. I looked, and this is what I saw. And it's all about visual learning. In Revelation, Jesus gives John 60 technicolor visions of things that are taking place or about to take place. And so it's all about seeing and taking in this. So we wanted to use that power of visual learning in the way we teach. And so it became kind of a passion for us.
Mm. That's interesting. I started reading my Bible because I was interested in Revelation. My mom made some just backhanded comment like, well, I loved science fiction. If you love science fiction and you want to see all kinds of mysteries unfold, you should read the book of Revelation. And I was like, I'm in. And that is exactly why I loved it, because I could see something with my imagination and then think, is this going to happen? And how is it going to happen? And loved all of like the Left Behind books because it just gave me this idea of seeing something in my head.
And that's really how we learn best. We have conceptual images that we use to understand the things that we see.
So you also write very logically, I guess you kind of laid out this book very logically, and you use the numbers 419481. Explain what that means and how that could be helpful in jumping into your New Testament.
Okay, so I was trying to teach the overview of the New Testament class to a group of students, and I wanted to give them a visual to show how the New Testament was organized. And come to find out, it's very logical. The church fathers, when they sat down to put the New Testament writings in order, did not do it in a random fashion. They grouped the 27 writings in six distinct and logical groups. The first, of course, are the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They are biographies of Jesus, and they appear in the front. So that's the number four. Second, you have a history book, and it stands alone. It's the book of Acts, and it's the history of the church from when Jesus ascended till 30-some years after that. So that became the number one. Four Gospels, one history book. Then you have nine letters written by the Apostle Paul to churches. And in only in the New Testament, when it's referring to a church, it refers to a city. So Romans is to the church in Rome, Corinthians to the church in Corinth. So you have these nine letters written to churches. Then there's another distinct group, four letters follow that, that are written to individuals, to people, two to Timothy, one to Titus, and one to Philemon. They are personal letters. They're different from a letter written to a church that would be read aloud. These are personal and private. And then you have, after that group, another group of eight letters that are called the general letters, and they're general because they are for general audiences. So four Gospels, one history book, nine letters to churches, four letters to people, eight general letters, and finally, at the end of your Bible, the book of Revelation. So this was 419481. And I wanted to come up with some way of visually presenting those numbers. So I was at home one day just minding my own business. I was kind of doodling with a magic marker, and I said, what if I made like a box? And the box would be the size of the number. And then I just kind of laid those out across the page. And so I came up with what became the logo for Frameworks, which is 419481, all encased in little boxes across the page. And it became a visual representation of the structure of the New Testament. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go out and get a T-shirt. So I went to this quick T-shirt shop, and I got a T-shirt made out of this thing. It was a black long-sleeve T-shirt, and I wore it to this class. And I waited till somebody asked me, what is that? And I said, that is the New Testament, visually, 419481. And I said, okay, we're either going to do tattoos or T-shirts, one. You got to pick. And so we did T-shirts. And so over that summer, we sold 82 long-sleeve T-shirts. So not only I have a book, I have a clothing line. No, I'm just kidding. And you wear a T-shirt into Safeway or some store, and people will look at you and they'll go, you can see their brain is kind of moving, and they're trying to figure it out. Is it a software company? Is it a phone number? What is that? And it's a great evangelical tool. And you can say, hey, how many books are in the New Testament? 27, do the math. So it became a real interesting thing.
Well, and it would be a great way. I think I'm going to do that for my next class. And the first student who can come up with what it is would get a bundle of extra credit points.
There you go. Hopefully I'll send you a shirt.
Hopefully they're not listening right now.
Okay.
Eric, I have a caller calling in who has a question about Romans. It looks like Vicki is calling in from Janesville. Vicki, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hello. What's your question for Eric?
Well, I'm preparing to teach a Bible study on the book of Romans, so I'm very interested in what he's had to say and just wondering how his book would help me teach that study better.
Eric, what's your response?
So when we were doing the Romans chapter, we had to take a kind of a high-level view of what's actually happening there. And so we took the idea that Romans is about being completely saved. Not only saved eternally, but transformed, I mean completely saved. And so we took the image of a butterfly, and that became our visual for the book of Romans. We start out as a worm, but through the grace of God, we are saved and transformed and eventually become this beautiful creature that people love to look at. And that's really the book of Romans from the very beginning to the very end. It's a book about knowing God's salvation and being transformed into his image. And so that's kind of how we approached it.
Vicki, did you get a good answer here? I'm just looking at it as well, and I love the page that he's written about unique things about Romans. You know, did you know? And he has a big list of what are some things that make Romans unique. And it is such a big book that it would be helpful for you to be able to break it down. So I hope that you'll get a copy of his book, Vicki.
Yeah, I'm going to go buy it. So thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, in addition to the New Testament, will you be writing an Old Testament?
I surely hope so.
I mean, not writing the Old Testament, but writing a framework for the Old Testament.
In the events that we do at churches where we're introducing the framework's approach to study, we always get that question, when is the Old Testament book coming out? And certainly if time permits, I'd love to do that. I just love the creative process. So I think that there's a huge need for that, and God willing, someday we'll do it.
Why do you find that people are so intimidated by the Old Testament?
Because most of the things that you read there are about a different culture at a different time, and people behave differently, and the values in many cases that they had are different than what we have today, and so it's just the vast differences that people have in trying to understand those old cultures. And the names that people have and the places that they're going are very hard to pronounce. And it's just a foreign land for a lot of people. But the Old Testament is so rich because in principle, the Old Testament is pointing to Christ. And so there are so many pictures and metaphors and types of Christ in all of the things in the Old Testament. It becomes a very rich study. And so if we do the Old Testament frameworks, I think we're going to focus on that as well. What does Christ look like in the book of Genesis? What is Christ? How does Christ appear in pictures and metaphors in Exodus and so on? So it becomes more of a living presentation.
Explain what that means when an instructor will say that you can read Jesus into the Old Testament. What does that mean to bring Jesus into the Old Testament so that people can understand that?
First of all, of course, Jesus, his coming was prophesied in hundreds of places in the Old Testament. So there are definite prophecies about his coming that you can actually read. Secondly, he was promised in the Old Testament, and there are a number of places that promise his coming. But more than that, he was pictured in the Old Testament. And so, for example, you have the Tree of Life standing in the midst of the Garden of Eden, and that could be a picture for us of Christ, that he is one that gives life, he is one that's against the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a separate experience, it's a spiritual experience. So there are all of these things that picture Christ. Noah's Ark could be a picture of Christ rising above the death waters to give us a way of salvation. I mean, so all of these, and then characters in the Old Testament, Abraham, there are aspects of Abraham's life that are very much like Christ, and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, all of these picture Christ in different aspects. So you could do an entire study on Christ as pictured in people and things in the Old Testament, and that's what makes it so rich.
Well, I look forward to reading the Old Testament frameworks when it eventually comes out, Eric. Talking with Eric Larson today, he's the author of a resource called Frameworks, How to Navigate the New Testament, and also a Bible teacher of many years. So we'll talk more about that, not only the Old Testament, but I'd love to get your opinion on biblical literacy or illiteracy today. So we'll chat about that when we come back after the break. If you have a question for Eric or a comment you'd like to make, you can give us a call as well at 877-933-FAITH, 877-933-2484, or you can always submit your question by email at myfaithradio.com. Just click on Connecting Faith and submit your question that way. We'll be right back. Song by Lincoln Brewster, just needing God more than oxygen. And that is certainly a true statement for all of us. But Eric, talking to Eric Larson today, who is the author of Frameworks, and it is a visual guide to understanding the New Testament. Eric, one of the things that in your bio says that motivated you to write this is just a lack of biblical understanding and how that is evidenced in our churches today. Talk more about that and why you felt compelled to write this.
I think the main reason is that we've seen such a huge shift over the past 30, 40 years in terms of biblical education in local churches. Used to be, when I was growing up anyway, that Sunday schools were a big thing, and there were lots of Sunday schools in almost all churches around, and you really kind of got a good, from very early age, you got a good grounding in the Bible. I think you talked about this at the beginning of the show, how you would normally go to a Sunday school, but over the past 10, 20 years, Sunday schools have kind of died out in popularity, and so there are really insufficient, in my view, insufficient educational programs that are structured to provide that. And so there's a need there, definitely. And then on the second side, there are lots and lots of great churches these days who are bringing many, many new people into God's kingdom. And they're doing that in increasing numbers. And so there's lots of unchurched adults that are coming in. And many of them don't know what they don't know, so they're sitting in the pews and in the congregations, and they kind of suffer silently there. They don't want to raise up their hand and say, you know what, I don't really know what you're talking about. When you tell me to turn to Matthew, I have no clue whether that's Old Testament or New Testament. So it's embarrassing for them. So I think those two things I've just noticed this, and in my own teaching, I've seen how people come alive when they see the scriptures for the first time, and how rewarding that is, and as an experience. And I said to myself, you know what, I want to help that. And so that became for me the passion to help individuals and churches to develop programs for biblical literacy.
It also seems like there's a trend in churches today that, rather than have any sort of adult education, that it's mainly small groups of meeting with each other rather than having a leader or a pastor who leads that group.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And for that point, we have been asked over the past few years since the book came out, do you have any resources for small groups? Frameworks, the book itself, can be used in a small group setting because it does have questions at the end of each chapter. But we felt like we needed an additional resource, so we came up with our own study guide specifically for small groups. And if you go to the website, it's available there. It's called Frameworks, the Workbook. And to that caller that called in about Romans, this might be another resource for Romans, that there's a whole study in there about Romans. So that's a place where people can write things down and process them together as a small group. So you're right, that through these small groups, there's lots of great studies out these days, DVD studies, that are digested in a small group setting.
Well, and one of the things I like about your resource is that it does give that context, the background of what you're studying, so that the person who's leading the group doesn't necessarily need to have that knowledge going in, but you can use the book in order to understand what you're studying much more fully.
Yeah, and that was the idea of it. Set up the structure, allow people to be empowered by that, and then just kind of launch them out there to read the scriptures on their own and of course, discuss them.
Well, so let's just lay it out. If someone has a friend who says, I really would like to start reading the Bible, but I don't know where to start, what's a good way for them to get started? How can we suggest to in a way that will make it a little less intimidating?
I would recommend that you pick up a book like Frameworks or something like that, somewhere that can start you with some context. And once you have that, then maybe pick a book of the New Testament that is more approachable, like the book of John first, and then start reading your way through that book with some help of some other people possibly. And I think that then will allow you to become more successful. You'll have some context before you actually pick up the scriptures and some guides that will take you through that experience. One other thing that's kind of interesting in our experience with these classes briefly is that sometimes we get folks that show up for these classes that have been going to Bible study fellowship or deep in the Word since they were 6 years old. And you say to them, what are you doing here? And they say, you know what? I've gone deep into Romans, but I've never seen the big picture of the whole New Testament. And so we've found out that this kind of a resource can help them too see how all of this fits together, how Romans fits within the context of the rest of Scripture. So it's also good for that.
And how does that help someone to understand the whole of the New Testament or the whole of the Old Testament, to know how that book fits in? What have you found in that area that where people's eyes are opened a little more to understand how their particular book or what the Apostle Paul is saying fits into the whole story of God's Word?
Well, it's much like when you look at a map. When you see Minneapolis and you see the surrounding areas of that and St. Paul and then go out from there, you get the context. And that context allows you then to see how to navigate your way through where you're going. And when you see how Paul's letters fit within the context of the rest of the writings of the New Testament, and you read, for example, the book of Acts, which tells about his journeys, and during those journeys he wrote these letters, then it becomes a logical progression of a story that has these stopping points along it. It was Galatians and Thessalonians and then Romans and Corinthians and on you go, and that becomes more meaningful to you. You can put things in a place, and we as human beings need to be able to do that. That's why conceptual images are so important, because they allow us to put things in perspective into what we know. And so I think that would be the helpful thing there.
I remember just learning about the letters and what was going on in the churches where whom he was writing the letters to. And that was such an aha moment for me, because I didn't understand why he would have written something in particular to Thessalonians that he didn't write to the Galatians. And knowing that context and that background helped it make much more sense as I moved through the rest of his letters.
That's what context is all about. And so if you know, for example, that the Galatians were suffering from ADD, mm-hmm. They were schizophrenic. I mean, they weren't really schizophrenic, but they were just crazy. They couldn't keep themselves focused. And so Paul says, I'm so surprised that you have left Christ so soon. I mean, that's who those people were. And once you get the context, it kind of brings the scriptures to life.
Mm. It does indeed. And so this resource would be great if you're just starting out and you wanting to read a little bit about your Bible. Eric, why don't you just give one more tell me where people could find not only your book, where they could download the chapter, and where they could find the workbook, and we'll also put those on our website as well. Go ahead.
So if you want to get to download the chapter, go to my website, frameworksthebook.com. You can purchase the book from InterVarsity Press or Amazon.com, Christian Book Distributors. They all carry this book. The book is being nationally distributed by Ivy Press. So those are some places to go get it. And the workbook, of course, is on our website.
And would this be a good resource if someone were coming into church for the first time to pass out to maybe new members at a church?
Definitely. We've actually had folks who are not Christians pick up a copy and just because of the visual imagery in the book, start reading it. And so it has become a good evangelical tool to outreach to people.
Okay. Well, Eric, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Eric Larson, who's the author of Framework. So you can go to our website, of course, to find out more about this. And we'll have a link to his website as well. Eric, we just wish you the best of luck, not only with this resource, but in creating the Old Testament as well. I hope we'll get to speak again.
Joe, thank you very much for having me on.
Absolutely, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
You've been listening to Connecting Faith. Have a wonderful afternoon.